I'd like to preach on a simple thought tonight. Which one of these thieves will you be? Which one of these thieves will you be? And I see a couple things in this passage of Scripture. And the first thing I see is the world that we live in. We have two sinners separated by Jesus. And that's all the world is. You separate the Christians from the lost folk. That's really, if you simplify it, that's what you'd find. And here we see that in this Scripture. We see the world, and we see the lost folk and the saved folk. We see the ones who mock Christ and make fun of him, and the ones who worship him, and the ones who love him. And I'd like to look at another thing I noticed. These soldiers, though they were mocking him, tell him he's not Jesus, tell him he can't save, these soldiers knew who they were crucifying. It says right here in verse 38, the latter part of this verse, it says, "This is the King of the Jews." This is the King of the Jews, and that's what he is. He's the King of all eternity. And they knew exactly who they were crucifying. And I don't know if that grasped you or not, but I was dwelling on that the other day. And just imagine that these soldiers, if you read this passage after this and passage before, you get a lot more about this. But they realized what they were doing and who they were doing it to. I'd like to really just focus on, look at these two thieves, and I'd like to separate them, look at the differences, the similarities and things like that of them. And I see the first thief we read about, he rebuked Jesus. And I got to dwelling on that thought of how he rebuked Jesus. And I thought about how Jesus was carrying that cross. He lived 33 and a half years pure, something impossible to man, but he was a man and he was God. And I got to dwelling on that, how he suffered all that agony, suffered all that. And I imagine all the people who rebuke him in our day and time. And I got to dwelling on that. But I thought about it. You realize all your sin is future. Well, you realize Peter and Judas rebuked him before he got on that cross, and he still got on that cross. And that just came over me, and I just got to thinking about it. You know, I'm unworthy. I couldn't deserve this to get behind this desk. I couldn't deserve my salvation. I don't deserve the clothes I have on. But the fact that God would die for me is such an unworthy sinner. And it just amazes me that even though Judas betrayed him in front of him, and Peter betrayed him in front of him, he still died for their sins, and he still dies for yours. Amen. I'd like to look at this first thief. If he rebuked Jesus, then it's obvious to us that he was not saved, and he died unsaved. I'd like to look at the fact that this thief, it was his last time indefinitely, and possibly his only chance of salvation. So here I see, we live in a world where people, they just can't accept the fact that they're lost. Their pride consumes them. The devil lets their pride come over them. And I've seen it many, many times. I've heard it said that almost 80% of lost people in hell are there because of their pride. Friend, let me tell you something tonight, that you need to just get over that pride. You need to get over that danger. I can see people in my school, and I talk to them, and they tell me I'm going to hell, and I'm glad. But friend, let me tell you something. You might say that down here because it's cool. You might say that down here because you're going to get popular. But in hell, you're alone. Those people you're with tonight, those people you're with that think they're cool, that think you're cool, you're there, and you're alone in torment, and there's nothing that can get you out. Friend, I'm trying to warn you tonight. I'm not trying to scare you at all. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says hell, it burneth with fire and brimstone. And that ETH at the end of that burneth means it continues, and it continues, and it continues forever. We see that he wasn't saved. How long are you going to put off your salvation? You come into this church, one of the nicest churches I've ever been in. That doesn't save you. You come in every Sunday, you sit on that church pew. That church pew is as real as hell is. You can ride that church pew straight to hell. Friend, I'm telling you tonight that church pew can't save you. I can't save you. It's the power of the blood of God that saves you. You got to come by the way of the cross. There's no other way. Your friends can't save you. You're trying to fill this void in your life. You're just not going to fill it. You're trying to fill it with a dip can or with an alcohol bottle. You say, well, they're just youngins. I've seen it at my school. I've been offered drugs. I've been offered alcohol, weed, dip, everything you could ever imagine. Friend, I'm telling you that this world is corrupt. Our kids are being introduced to things I could have never imagined when I was younger, and it just gets worse. Friend, you got to come by the way of the cross. We see that this first thief, he went with the crowd. You see where he is today. The Bible says, if you don't repent, you shall likewise perish. Therefore, he's in hell, suffering. I'm sure he's looking up right now, saying, listen to that preacher. Listen to that man of God that's trying to warn you of your salvation. Listen to him. I see that this crowd he was following rebuked the Holy One. The only person who ever lived perfect. Only person who ever deserved heaven. only person who ever entered this earth and left holy. I see something about Jesus that he's a sovereign God. But he's also a God of justice. And there's going to come a point in your life where that mercy is going to run out and that justice is going to come over you. I want to talk to saved people for just a second with this verse. If you know your Bible, in Romans 12, verse 2, I'm sure a lot of people can quote it. And the beginning of that says, be not conformed to this world. Christian, if you're going with that crowd, the same crowd that's lost, same crowd that's doing those drugs, same crowd that's on that weed, you say, oh, it's not that bad, friend. It's against the word of God. It says to be of a sober mind. Friend, I'm telling you something tonight. If you're a Christian going with the crowd, you're an abomination unto God.
Yes.
You're nothing more than that drunkard down at the street, except for the fact that you have fire insurance. We see that this first thief was obviously out of the will of God. We see that because the Bible says he has come to have life and have it more abundantly. But this thief, because he was not saved, he had death. He was bound to death. That was his eternity, and he still is in hell today, the second death, as the Bible says. We see he wasn't in the Lord's will. And then we see he got his 5 minutes of fame on that cross. I can imagine those soldiers standing around. I just use a little spiritual imagination, but that's fine. Those soldiers standing around, and they're looking up, and they're saying, yeah, say on, say on, say on. Keep making fun of him. Keep saying no to him. Keep rebuking him, because that's all they did, but it got him hell. That thief wrote his ticket to hell on that cross. He was that close to Jesus. We can't even see him. He was that close. And you think a church is going to save you? This thief was right there beside Jesus, right there next to him. And you think coming inside a church is going to save you?
Right.
Listen, I'm trying to warn you.
Go ahead.
Don't go to hell in your sin. Get saved. Then I want to look at this second thief. We see the complete opposite. Now, there was a point in this thief's life where he rebuked Jesus. And I'm beginning that in a second. But we see that finally, he accepted Jesus, and he was saved. But I want to look at the fact that he did rebuke Jesus. You say, well, preacher, I've rebuked Jesus before. I can't be saved. If he's convicting your heart, there's still hope.
Right.
If you're here tonight, I believe there's still hope for you. This thief had rebuked Jesus, still got saved. All he had to do was call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. We see it was also his last and possibly only chance to accept Jesus. So we see that you're in the same boat with a lot of other people that are saved. You're sitting here tonight saying, oh, they'll make fun of me. I don't care if they make fun of you or not. Angels in heaven are going to rejoice.
Right.
If heaven rejoices over me, I don't care what y'all do. It's just how I feel about that. We see that he got his 5 minutes of ridicule on that cross standing for Jesus. It's a lot worse than Christians like to say, Standing for God. Oh, it's hard. Imagine this thief. All these soldiers crucifying Jesus and he accepts him. Imagine the ridicule he went through. But see where he's at now? He can talk to Jesus when he wants. He can talk to Abraham when he wants. All these people in heaven, he can talk to them and he can stroll with the angels. He can say, Gabriel, how was it? What was it like? We see that he was nothing more than what a Christian should be. Look in verse 40. It says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? But the other answering rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear God? See, he's reaching out. He's reaching out to him and says, do you not fear God? We're in the same boat. We're in the same condemnation. And I want to look at something. I was reading a commentary this morning, getting the most I can out of the scripture. And you have it said something about the two crosses you have. You have this cross. It said, because Jesus was in the middle, portrayed him as the worst. Portrayed him as the worst out of these two wicked, vile, disgusting thieves. Portrayed him as the worst. Yet he was holy. Imagine what this world does. They portray these drugs. They portray all these movie stars that are living in sin on their way to hell as good. And the people in my school worship them. I see it every day. They wear the same clothes just because they wear them. Same hairstyles. Same music. Oh, I can hit on that. Hurt some feelings. Y'all don't like when I start talking about music. If this is my way I feel about it. If it don't glorify God, I'll not be listening to it.
Yes,
and you won't play it in church, I'll not be in your car, on your phone.
Hey,
we still all right? I'm a country boy. I don't go home and listen to rock music, country music. All that changed when I got saved. I said it changed. Have you changed? If you haven't, get saved. I don't care. You say, well, I made profession of faith. Everybody will look at me as I'm bad and I'm wrong. I made profession of faith when I was 5. Here I am tonight preaching. People in this congregation, I know they have my back. I could go to them for anything. They don't make fun of me. And then we see, like I said, he was what a Christian should be. He reached out to that other lost thief. He says, do you not fear God? The Bible says, fear God, honor the king. And then this wasn't a very long message. I don't plan to draw this out, but I want to leave you with a couple questions. If you're a Christian in here tonight, you're saved, but you're not really living for God. You're going with the world. You're going with the crowd. You're not really on fire for God like you should. If you read the book of Jude, you'll see what God thinks about some lukewarm Christians. You see, that's not where you should be. If you're not on fire for God, you need to check up and get right. You say, well, I don't have to be on fire for God every service. I don't have to feel good every service. If you base it on your feelings, if I base it on my feelings, I wouldn't have these outlines. Because when you go 4 months without preaching, you don't really want to make no outlines. That's how it is. If I went on my feelings, I would not want to make outlines. Friend, are you going with the crowd tonight? Does the world boss you around? Preacher, Brother Brent Carr went to a youth meeting last night. Preached on the yoke must be destroyed. If you know what a yoke is, it goes on the farm animals or the donkeys. I'm not a farm person, but he taught me about as much as I know last night. But if you know anything about that yoke, it controls them. Is the world a yoke on your back tonight? Is that music you listen to a yoke on your back tonight? Are your friends a yoke to you? If you invite them to church, would they come? That's a big one right there. If they're not in church tonight or in church today, or if they won't come to church when you invite them, should you be hanging out with them? If you can't go into their house, listen to some gospel music, have a shout and spell, there's something wrong. You ought to be able to do the same thing at their house as you do in church. If I went to pastor's house and I just got going, hallelujah, he'd probably go with me. I'm telling you tonight that the friends that you run with, the people you run with, are bossing you around. They're ordering your Christian life around, and there's nothing you can do about it because that yoke is on you. Brother Brent said that yoke must be destroyed. Now I'd like to... I'm just sitting in rhetorical. I want you to raise your hands. I actually want you to raise your hands when I ask this. How many people in the room tonight love God? About everybody. You can put your hands down. If you love God, who knows? Who knows that you love God? You shouldn't be the only one that knows. You'll not be the only one that knows that you love God. There should be something about you that your teacher knows that you love God, that your friends know that you love God, that everybody should realize something about you. Your friends should be like, man, that boy loves the Lord. Your teacher shouldn't have to ask where you were Sunday. They should know. I'm telling you tonight that the world knows something about you because you love the Lord. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? That was me. If you go up there, I'm gonna have Ian play while I show you this. And I studied David and Goliath out a while back as something we all know. And I really studied it out, and I got to thinking about it. And I got to thinking about how David was so on fire for God. And David went down to that battlefield, something that nobody else could have done without God. David went down there. David had God on him. David told Goliath, he said, you're coming to me with a spear and a sword, but I come unto you in the name of the Lord. Amen. I got to thinking about all the fake Christians in our day and time. Yeah. I got to thinking about what if David would have been fake? What if David would not have been real when he said, I go unto you and in the name of the Lord? He would have been slaughtered. Yeah. He would have been killed. I'm telling you tonight, if you're not real, you say, well, my sin doesn't affect everybody. It just affects me. No, it affects everybody else. I'm telling you, if you were here Friday morning at Jubilee, Brother Chris gave a demonstration. He had three of us lay down right here, and Maddie walk across us, and he showed you that your sin is making a lost folk walk over you and walk over you, and eventually they trip. Do you, when you get to heaven, do you want to carry somebody's blood on your hands? When you get to heaven, do you want to say, I wish I'd have been real for God? Or do you want God to look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Friend, listen tonight. You don't have to live in your sin. You don't have to live the way you're living. You come in church. I like the way it's said all the time. We have a fundamental form of godliness. We have people in our church who are allowed by their parents, allowed by their teachers, their friends, to live in their sin. Do you want to get to heaven? What would you do if you go home? Well, you know what you're doing when you go home. I'm sure you already have it planned. Right after you do whatever that is, if the rapture came, would there be any guilt? Would you wish you'd have done something different? If you wake up in the morning and the rapture comes the moment you wake up, would you say, man, I wish I'd have read my Bible last night. Man, I wish I'd have prayed. Man, I wish when God laid on my heart to testify in that service, I'd obeyed him. I'm telling you, your sin is not only affecting you, but it's an abomination unto God. And if you're saved, that should affect you. If you're saved, that should matter to you. If you're really, truly saved, it should matter that your friends are not living for God. Your friends will be just as on fire as you are, or at least you'll be witnessing to them. I'm sick and tired of seeing people just because they're young. They say, I can't live for the Lord yet. Or you say, I've done too much. I've gone too far away. The preacher preached on it this morning about the parable of the lost son. I'm telling you, you can't go too far. All it takes, I don't care if Jesus is over there in North Carolina and you're here in Bowling Springs, all it takes is this. One step to God and he runs to you. Just get out of your sin. You don't have to live the way you're living. You're miserable. You're not on fire for God. You're lukewarm. I'm tired of seeing my generation look like the bad people. I'm tired of seeing the people of my age, the people I try to be friends with and be acquaintances with. People in my school, I sit there and I listen to the conversation and it sickens me. I sit there and I hear them and I'm like, my goodness, this dude's 15 and he's done all of this. This girl's 16 and she's done all this. How perverse can this world get? It amazes me and it sickens me, the disgustingness that is in our schools. I can't tell you the many times I've seen people pass pills around the classroom. But if I hand a track out, I get made fun of. That's the nation we live in. Started on God-fearing people. And now it's ran by generations that think drugs and alcohol is the cool thing. Listen, you can die on this church pew tonight. We can, before you get out of here, the rapture could come. You say, well, preacher, I'll just wait for the rapture. No, you won't, because the Antichrist is going to convince you that he's God. And you say, well, no, he won't, because I'm smart enough. You're going to be turned over to a reprobate mind. Whenever that fire comes down from heaven, you're going to have no clue. You're going to be clueless of all the things. You're going to be lost in your sin. No way out. I can see it on people's faces tonight. You know you're lost. But you don't care. You know you're lost, but there's just something about you that's saying, I don't care. My goodness, on a day when someone rather smoke a blunt than get saved. I'm sorry if I'm being too vile for you, but that's the nation we live in. I've seen it time and time again. At my school tomorrow, there'll be more drugs than probably all of Bowling Springs. And you say that's exaggerating. I doubt it. People bring bags full of it. They bring dogs in and does nothing. They don't really want to catch them. They don't care. That's the nation we live in. I see teachers witness the cussing, witness the fights, witness the drugs, and they just don't care. What a day we live in when you'd rather be lost in your sin. See, if you'd be real, you're miserable. If you'd be real with us, you're miserable, and you wish you'd live for God sooner. The door's open. There's nothing holding you back tonight. It's you and God. I can't make the decision for you. I've done the best I could to show you what God's laid on my heart. It's your decision.